Welcome back to another episode of The Mac Rumor Show. Hello, Hartley. How's it going, man?
It's good. It's a quiet time for Apple News. So I'm trying to cope, trying to keep my sanity without new rumors.
Yeah. I really wish we could talk about what I just saw at the Apple offices for Beats yesterday, but unfortunately, I can tease it. I'm okay with saying that there's something coming that I think people are going to want to stay like locked into Mac Rumors for, but it's not going to be quite yet. But I will say those offices were sweet. I was very impressed with those ones. And yeah, so we can't talk about that, but what we can talk about is the iPhone SE 4. And now before everyone groans and says, oh man, didn't you guys just talk about this? We did, but there have been a lot of new pieces of information that's coming out recently. And we're hearing, you know, some new updates on things that we can expect and also some updates on things that are kind of not going to happen anymore. And I kind of want to start there. So, you know, what makes this iPhone really appealing is not only the price point, but the fact that it's going to get a huge design haul, you know, basically going from an older iPhone 8 with a Touch ID button to removing all of that and going to a more modern iPhone. And some thought we were going to get, what, Dynamic Island, camera control, and even the action button. And apparently we're not getting any of those things. Do you think you can fill us in a little bit on that?
Yeah, so this information has basically been rumored for a while when the device was earlier in a stage of development. Not so much with the Dynamic Island rumor. That's been a little bit more recent, but particularly with the action button. And this has been up in the air because you can see how Apple might want to move the entire iPhone lineup over to the action button. I think it's a pretty good upgrade over the mute switch. But simultaneously, this is a design that is effectively the design of the iPhone 14, which of course has that mute switch. And as a lower cost device, needing to make a distinction between what will be the lowest cost iPhone and then the next iPhone up, which would be the iPhone 16 and very soon the iPhone 7. I say very soon, in September will be the iPhone 17.
Yeah, not that soon.
That is another little distinction between those two models. And one of the most important latest rumors we've had are the pictures of the dummy models, which I don't know if you've had a chance to check out, but they provide a really good look at this design. And of course, it's quite familiar, really, because we know what the iPhone 14 looks like. But it's a little bit different with this single camera on the back, frosted back glass. And I think it looks really good.
Yeah, I actually do really enjoy it. And if you want to check it out, you can go to macrumors.com. And of course, you can check out the photos there of these dummy units. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a hybrid between what we had before and then what we kind of have now, not even necessarily an iPhone 14, but like closer to, you know, the style of what, you know, we saw with the 15 and 16 even. So it's kind of like a good hybrid. And then you flip it around and it's kind of like, okay, we're back to iPhone 14 basically, right?
Which was a really good design. And I think that considering that this is a low cost iPhone, this is about right for where this should be. I think that for many years, pretty much going back to when the 2022 iPhone SE 3 came out, the design felt outdated. As you say, it was based on the iPhone 8. Physically, in every way, it looks like an iPhone 8. It's got that glossy back glass. It's got those chunky bezels. It's got a Touch ID home button, no Face ID, no USB-C. It feels quite out of date now. We have had the notch since that design debuted alongside
The iPhone 8
and the iPhone 10. So yeah, it's pretty old now. And I think this is about right. Dynamic Island and adding camera control and the action button. At that point, why would you go for an iPhone 16?
That's too many things. Honestly, the only thing that I could kind of believe was the action button. But even then, if it's like kind of repurposing most of an iPhone 14, that did not have an action button, that did not have Dynamic Island. So I believe that when I see that it's not coming. I certainly wasn't expecting camera control either. Were you?
It was rumored at one point, but I agree. It was pretty surprising they even brought it to the standard models and brought it to the whole lineup simultaneously. So it definitely would have been a shock if that was present on this device. I don't think it really needs to be. I don't think the iPhone SE customers are longing for that camera control.
No, I think Dynamic Island would have been like the one that I could see happening the most and being a fair trade. But
and that's probably fine. Where iPhone SE goes next, right? That's probably iPhone SE 5 2 years from now.
Hey, guys, just want to let you know this episode of the Mac Rumors Show is sponsored by Public Rec. For those who watch our podcast, you might notice some nice waffle knit hoodies that I've worn in the past. But one of the best things that I've also had on, and even in this episode right now, are my Daymaker pants from Public Rec. Now, you can't see them, but they are incredibly comfortable. I've actually worn clothes from Public Rec in the past, so I was super excited that they wanted to sponsor this episode because these are some high-quality clothes at an affordable price. The Daymaker pants not only look really nice, acceptable for almost any occasion, but they feel and fit like joggers, which is the dream. Super stretchy, elastic waist for max comfort. Absolutely fantastic. Usually, when you order comfortable pants, you only get to pick from small, medium, large, and extra large sizes. With Public Rec pants, you actually get to select exact width and length that you need. So, if you're a 30 by 30 or a 44 by 36, you can find your perfect fitting pants. Their proprietary blend of performance materials provides the best combination of breathability and stretch while still holding its form. You'll never want to take them off. So make your New Year's resolution a comfortable one. No more pants that pinch, tug, or annoy. For a limited time, you can get 20% off at Public Rec by using code MAC at checkout. Just head to publicrec.com and use code MAC, that's M-A-C, and you're all set. And when they ask how you found out about them, please be sure to let them know that we sent you. Thanks, Public Rec, for sponsoring this episode. Do you think the iPhone SE will ever go two cameras, or is that just getting crazy? Because then what's the point of the iPhone 16?
I don't think so. And the reason I don't think so now more than ever is because I think that we're going back to single camera, low-cost iPhones. Look at the iPhone 17 Air. That is a single camera iPhone. Likewise, the iPad Pro has lost its ultra-wide camera. We're back down to a single camera on the rear of that device. I think that the way that the iPhone 18 standard model is going to go is to a single camera and adopt the design of the iPhone 17. That isn't an actual rumor. That's just my speculation. So I think it's pretty unlikely. I don't think many people really use that ultra-wide camera.
And if you leverage the power of AI, which is what Apple and every company wants to do, you could definitely get away with it. Shameless plug, iPhone versus Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra camera comparison went out this week. Check it out if you haven't, but mostly check it out because the zoom capabilities on the S25 Ultra using AI processing is so good that I believe that if Apple can come up with a really good sensor that could leverage that AI processing, we already know it's going to get Apple intelligence, so it's definitely capable. It'll have the power. If it can do that and make those 10x and 30x shots good like you get on the S25 Ultra, we don't even need to go that far. Just make 1, 2, 3, and 5x and maybe 10x like really solid to where you won't need any of that. And you can get away with having digital zoom at an optical level, which is what Samsung was offering. And it really does make a huge difference. And you can see in that video. So I think that's the way to go personally as well. I just was curious. Maybe they figure out a way to do that and make that available for everyone. But I agree. They don't need to.
And the other upgrade that we're expecting, as well as a 48-megapixel rear camera, is a 12-megapixel front-facing camera. Because you have to remember that the iPhone SE has been stuck with a 7-megapixel front-facing camera for a long time.
It's not good.
It's not great. And also, this year, we are expecting the iPhone 17 lineup to move to a 24-megapixel camera. And that should be across the whole lineup. So again, another distinction between the iPhone SE and the iPhone 17 models, because this will effectively be the same front-facing camera that you have on an iPhone 15.
Yeah, I agree. And I think this is going to be a very solid device. I feel like this is still going to be something, even without the things that we just mentioned, it's still going to be a pretty solid upgrade, but I think it does paint a little bit more of a clear picture of where it falls into the lineup. Now, are we still expecting to see that 5G modem that's custom from Apple, or is that something that's not going to get it? Because, recently we're seeing that, like, definitely the iPhone 17 Air could have it. But what about the rest of that lineup, the 17, and is there any other devices?
So this is going to be one of Apple's most important releases this year. Perhaps not quite as big as Apple Silicon, but it is still pretty significant considering that Apple has never made its own modems. Right now, in the iPhone, it purchases these components from Qualcomm. Mm-hmm. So this is Apple trying to do what it did with Apple Silicon and move away from Intel to its own chips. Now it wants to move away from Qualcomm to its own chips. And those two companies have had some legal disputes. And obviously, Apple thinks that it can ultimately do that better. Now, the difference in this instance is that it's not going to be as good as a Qualcomm modem to start with. Apple's had to make some acquisitions. It's been working on this technology for a really long time. And that is why it is going to be introduced in the iPhone SE. We're also expecting this to appear in the iPhone 17 Air, which is a relatively low-cost device. It's not a high-end device. That's still below $1,000. And there are also rumors about it being included at least a combined Wi-Fi Bluetooth chips, which is very similar. So we're talking in this same sort of family of technology in the HomePod Mini update that we're expecting later this year. So in terms of the improvements that you can expect from Apple doing this year, power consumption is a very important one. We're very familiar with the efficiency improvements of Apple Silicon. Improved network scanning, so when you're moving between networks and when you're moving between cell towers, and also satellite connectivity being tied directly into that chip. The disadvantage is being that Apple has not built supposedly millimeter wave 5G into this chip, and also it probably will be slower than a Qualcomm modem. So there are some advantages, there are some disadvantages, but considering that this is a low-cost model, I think it's probably about right timing-wise to get this component into these devices. And I think it's quite exciting for where that goes in years to come, because if these efficiency improvements continue, you have to remember that the modem is one of the components of the device that uses a lot of power.
Yeah.
So if we want battery life to improve and we want thinner iPhones, but we want to retain long battery life, this is one of the ways that Apple is planning to do that.
And that makes a lot of sense, putting it in the devices that probably won't sell a ton. So you're like not really pissing off a lot of customers who are having, you know, poor reception because they're still working out the kinks. And it kind of sucks for those early adopters, but maybe it comes out and it's great and it works really, really well and there are no issues. And then you're getting the benefits earlier. But, you know, you're kind of like an early adopter of something that they're definitely going to need to tweak and mess around with. So it does make sense. It kind of stinks for some of those people who might get that. But, I mean, it could definitely be something, like you said, that could improve battery life in the future, which would be huge.
It's also worth remembering that Apple Silicon started with the M1 chip, not with the M1 Pro, not with the M1 Max. And it was initially effectively entry-level devices. The MacBook Air, the low-end Mac Mini, they continued to sell the high-end Intel Mac Mini alongside that M1 model.
Yep.
And the low-end 13-inch MacBook Pro. So this is a fairly similar strategy. So we're looking at the iPhone SE, the iPhone 17 Air, and sort of the HomePod Mini, although of course that's not cellular, but it is still in the same family of technologies because Apple is trying to long-term build this all into one chip. So you have Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, and cellular all in one piece inside the device. And I guess eventually the long, long-term plan here is to build that into Apple Silicon itself. So even more miniaturized, even more efficient. And that is really useful long-term. If you think that we could get cellular MacBooks, we then could get cellular on future Vision Pro devices. All iPads could be cellular by default. The potential for this makes a lot of sense, but this is just where we have to start out. And it's kind of exciting that that's on an iPhone SE, I think.
Yeah, I think it's more exciting if this is going to be what paves the way for Apple to finally put cellular inside of a MacBook, because when you said that, my ears definitely perked up a little bit, because I don't even know how to describe how helpful that would be for a lot of people out there. I don't want to hear anyone tell me that I should be using my hotspot. It's not as good, and I don't care what you say. It's not as good as having a direct connection, and I don't feel like eating up battery life on two devices when I could just do it on one. So yeah, I agree with you on your sentiment for the 5G modem. It definitely makes a lot of sense how it's laid out. What about the rumors for the chip that's going to be inside? It's obviously got to be something high enough to leverage Apple intelligence. Are we looking at 8 gigs of RAM? Or are we going to bump up to 12? I feel like that's way too high for an SE. So 8 gigs is the minimum requirement, right? Where are we at with that?
Yeah, so it should be 8 gigabytes of memory, which is the requirement for Apple intelligence. And also, it's worth bearing in mind that that would be 8 gigabytes across the entire iPhone lineup at that point.
Yeah, for a little bit.
Complete parity. I mean, we are expecting 12 on the Pro models this year, or at least on the Pro Max. But 12 gigabytes would be a pretty significant upgrade for the iPhone SE. We're also expecting the A18 chip, which of course is present in the iPhone 16 and 16 Plus. It's a good chip. It's a chip that is a little bit more advanced than the A17 Pro that was just put in the iPad mini, which also does support Apple intelligence. But the difference is that the A17 Pro is made on that base node 3-nanometer process from TSMC. So it was like it's effectively the first version of 3-nanometer. It was a little bit more experimental. It was not designed to be as efficient or as low cost as the enhanced 3-nanometer node that the A18 is made in, which can be manufactured more easily in higher volumes and is more efficient. There's not a huge performance difference, but you know, this is all background stuff when it comes to manufacturing. So it looks like the A18 is the chip that Apple really wants to slide into a huge number of its devices. Another device where we're probably going to see this chip is the iPad 11. Mm-hmm. So it reminds me a little bit, I don't know if you remember, with the A15. The A15 was a chip that was put in basically everything at one point or another. It was in the Apple TV. iPhone SE. Uh-huh. It was in the iPad. Obviously, was across the iPhone lineup at one point. So I think the A18 is another moment like that, where Apple have designed a really good chip. It's very well optimized for Apple intelligence. And it can be manufactured in very large quantities. So we'll probably be seeing that maybe in a new Apple TV this year. Also, I've just remembered that the A18 is rumored for this this HomePod with a screen, this command center product, again, because of Apple intelligence support. So expect to hear a lot about the A18 this year.
Event or no event? I mean, we're expecting no event. We're expecting a timeline of March and April, right? So in those 2 months, this is coming soon. This will be here sooner than you think.
I think that... as far as I remember, only the first iPhone SE was unveiled at an event in 2016. Mm-hmm. Every other iPhone SE has not been, and has just been a press release thing. And although this is a more significant update, I don't think it's really necessary. But it does depend on what else comes out around this time. Are we going to get another week of press releases where they update the entry-level iPad, they update the iPhone SE, I don't know, maybe we'll get something else. It's a little bit unclear now when some of these other things like this HomePod with a screen is going to come out. That looks like it will now be a little bit later in the year. I don't know how much else there could be at this time of year. Maybe a little iPad Air refresh with a chip update. That would also be quite small. But then I'd say that probably isn't enough for an event. That
MacBook Air needs a little bit of an update too.
We are expecting MacBook Air. That's very true. I forgot about that. But these are all, with the exception of the iPhone SE, these are chip updates. And that to me would work quite well with a week of press releases. Sure.
Unless that thing, the screen HomePod, is ready, in which case then you have a lot of like things to talk about.
And
but
it would
you
all be very AI
time.
Focused, right? Because you'd have the M4 in the MacBook Air, which is much more performative at AI tasks than the M3. We also obviously have the first iPhone SE with Apple intelligence, the first entry-level iPad with Apple intelligence. So you could see how they can keep going with Apple intelligence. They can keep saying what a big deal this is.
Well, also, aren't we expecting 18.4 soon that's going to have some of those Siri updates?
So 18.4 is expected to come out after the release of the iPhone
But the SE. The betas are coming soon, though.
Supposedly, they should do. So... what has been discovered in back-end code is that the iPhone SE 4 should ship with iOS 18.3 or a version of iOS 18.3. And iOS 18.4 is expected around March or April. So it could well be that the iPhone SE 4 ships with iOS 18.3.4 or something.
Sure.
And then a week later, the iOS 18.4 comes
18,
out.
18, yes, yeah. But so do you see where I'm going with this, though? Like, I'm kind of like leading. You mentioned AI being a heavy focus if they were to talk about all of these devices. If 18.4 is ready, I mean, we really haven't seen a ton of, like, contextual, personal-based Siri features talked about, like, all at one time. So I think that maybe we see that in an event with that screen and all of the things that you can do, or it won't be ready and none of this will happen. But, you know, just something that I'm kind of alluding to that could justify an event in March or April.
That's a really good point.
This episode of the Mac Rumors Show is also sponsored by Acorns. We've all had New Year's resolutions that don't quite pan out. I mean, you get super inspired to eat well, create better habits, work out, et cetera, et cetera. And now we're a month in, and the reality is it's hard to keep these resolutions long term. But what if we could make these automatic? Acorns makes it easier than ever to save money and start investing your money automatically. One of my resolutions this year is to actually increase my portfolio and my investments because, well, I have been pretty bad on it and I don't know what I'm doing, so I need to start figuring that out. And Acorns can definitely help. It takes care of everything. So it seems like a no-brainer, right? Acorns makes it easier to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You don't even need to be rich. Acorns lets you invest with the spare money that you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. And it only takes 5 minutes to create an account. I remember thinking this was going to be a hassle, but when a friend of mine told me to check it out, I took some extra cash that I had saved on a purchase recently and I threw it into the app and had everything just get set up automatically to take those small amounts and invest it towards my future. Basically, Acorns does the hard part so that you can give your money a chance to grow. So head on over to acorns.com/Mac or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. That's acorns.com/Mac, M-A-C, to start saving and investing for your future. This is a paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/Mac. Okay, so we're expecting March or April, probably around that time, whether it's a press release event or whatever the case may be. You know, this is a huge change. What are we expecting for the price? Before it was, what, $429? I know we've heard some things about an increase. Are we expecting to go past the 400s and into the 500s, or are we still expecting just a little bit of an increase?
So it looks like Apple wants to keep the iPhone SE under $500, which I think makes a lot of sense considering it's a very important device for emerging markets, and it is that entry-level point. And a lot of people will get into the Apple ecosystem, will get their first iPhone in the form of this device. So keeping it under $500 is pretty important. Rumors are that it will be about 10% more expensive than the current model, which would place it at around $470, which I still think is pretty good.
Yeah.
As long as you keep it under that 500 mark, it clearly is pretty different to the iPhone 16, which comes in at $699. Is that right?
Yes.
And then Apple continues to sell the iPhone 15 below that for $599.
I'll tell you that in just a second, just to be sure, because, you know, we always do this with prices.
The lineup could look something like iPhone SE 4, even at $499, iPhone 15 continuing to be sold at $599, and then iPhone 16 at $699.
Yeah, I knew we got the prices wrong, actually. I said yes, but then I was like, I don't know. The iPhone 16 is $799.
Okay.
And then $899 for the 16 Plus, and then $999 and $1099 for the other two.
So that could be about $200 to jump up from the iPhone SE 4 to the iPhone 15, which continues to be on sale.
And the 14's on sale, too, still, on the website.
Oh, so okay. So then the 14 must fill that gap then, and that is at $599.
$599, $699 for 15, then, you know, just goes up from.
So with each $100, you're getting a newer device.
Yep.
With the exception of the iPhone SE 4 that won't be newer, but will have lower specs. But I would be very interested to see how many people go for an iPhone 14.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say
over
that.
An iPhone SE 4, because you're paying $100 more. What are you getting for that?
So two cameras.
You're getting the ultra wide camera,
mm-hmm.
But you're losing USB-C. Mm-hmm. You're losing Apple Intelligence. Mm-hmm. You're losing 8 gigabytes of memory. You're losing the A18 chip. I'm trying to think what chip the iPhone 14 is on. I think it's the A16, mm-hmm. A15.
A15. Yep.
So it doesn't seem like great value. I don't know why you do that, because it's the same device in your hand. Neither device has ProMotion. Both devices have Face ID. By pretty much any measure, other than that ultra wide camera, and I don't know. I'm really struggling here to think of something other than that ultra wide camera.
I don't think that this would be a good buy. It doesn't make any sense. Maybe you can justify an iPhone 15? Could you?
15?
No. Because
a little bit more sense, because you would get
USB-C.
You would get USB-C. You get Dynamic Island.
Yeah,
You also get a newer chip, although still not as new as
No Apple A80. Intelligence. Yeah.
No Apple Intelligence. Maybe you prefer the colors?
Yeah.
Well, is that the point we're at?
I mean, maybe. And assuming that would drop down to $599, right? And then you'd have the I wouldn't do that. Because unless the colors, which I wanted to bring up, are we still looking at black, white, and maybe red like they've done in years past?
Just black and white.
Oh, not even red. That's awful. That's so boring.
I mean, I don't.
They
I
look don't good.
Because to me, again, it's a low cost device, and it makes sense to have fewer storekeeping units for a lower cost device. And also, you want to upsell people on those colors. If you just want an iPhone, your priority is, I just want to own an iPhone. I just want an Apple phone. I don't think that not having a red option or some crazy purple option is going to stop you from doing that. And probably just black and white is simple enough for most people.
The SE should adopt the 5C back principle. Fun colors, plastic. Everybody will hate me for saying that, but I think that's what the SE should get, and then everything else gets more premium. I'm glad that it doesn't, because you're getting more premium. But
that's
not
what Apple's
going
to do with the Apple Watch, right? The Apple SE 3 is going to have a plastic casing. We're going back to that logic. So maybe super long term here.
Yeah, yeah.
With the iPhone SE 5 or 6, when they redesign this casing, we'll end up with an iPhone 15 style design with a plastic casing. If the iPhone, if the Apple Watch SE 3 with a plastic casing is really successful.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't see that happening personally. Not right now.
The reason why the iPhone 5C kind of failed is because it wasn't low cost enough. It was $100 difference to the iPhone 5S of the time, and mm-hmm. was basically a rehoused iPhone 5. It was the same device as the iPhone 5, but plastic casing sold alongside the iPhone 5S. Now, if that had been a $300 price difference or a $250 price difference, then maybe that would make sense. But it was just an iPhone 5. Just that year, they discontinued the iPhone 5 and rehoused it in a plastic casing. I think that actually today, there is more of a case for a fun plastic iPhone, considering just how many iPhones are on sale. Remember when the iPhone 5C came out, that was the first time there were two brand new iPhones unveiled alongside each other. We hadn't even had a Plus model yet. Before that, it was just one new model every year. Whereas now we get, this year they're going to release 5 new iPhones. So a plastic casing would make sense to kind of separate it. I mean, again, the Apple Watch lineup, that makes sense. Right now, the Apple Watch SE has a very similar, it's basically the same aluminium casing that you can get on the Apple Watch Series 10. Or if you go buy on Amazon or somewhere else, you can buy an Apple Watch Series 9 with that same casing. And obviously you have titanium at the high end, whether that's with polished titanium on the Series 10 or the blasted titanium on the Apple Watch Ultra. So if we want to go down the road of different casings here, plastic at the entry level makes sense, especially considering that a lot of people who buy an Apple Watch SE, they might be parents buying it for kids. It's their first smartwatch. Or people that maybe are hesitant about a smartwatch. They're not sure how much they're going to use it. Maybe they just use it for fitness and they want to keep that price down. Well, a plastic casing is a great way to do that. And again, fun, colorful casings. What a great way to make that device more appealing to kids.
I agree. You know, as a parent, that's the kind of one, like, that's the kind of device that I would want to get. I have been kind of tossing around the idea for my oldest to have an Apple Watch simply so that they could send, not necessarily an Apple Watch, but a smartwatch. You know, there's ones made for kids we've talked about before, like the Gizmo. And I want to, like, offer him the ability to, like, reach out to us in case of an emergency or if they just need to send something. But I don't want them to be distracted. And, you know, I want to be able to locate them because our busing system is awful. And sometimes they don't come home for an hour past when they're supposed to be. So we just want to know when they're around while we're waiting for the bus to come. And, you know, I can't do that as easily as I could with an Apple Watch. So it makes more sense to justify staying in the ecosystem rather than having to go through a bunch of different hoops and apps to be able to track them. But and then also, you know, the whole thing of giving a kid an Apple Watch that's too expensive and then they break it, like, that would be terrible. So same thing applies for a phone. Like, my kids are not anywhere near being ready to have a phone. But when that does happen, I would get them something that isn't so crazily expensive that they can, you know, throw around and do what they need to do. Hey, maybe we get crazy and add this to an iPad. iPad mini with a plastic back and some fun colors. What do you think? A kid's version? I think that would just, I don't think they'd do that ever, but
I don't know if they would go that far, but yep. I think that the Apple Watch lineup is becoming one of the lineups that makes the most sense in terms of where these models are. The iPad lineup, as we've discussed many times, is a mess. The iPhone lineup is also quite messy. But by the end of this year, I think the Apple Watch lineup will make a lot of sense because one of the key upgrades with the Apple Watch SE 3 is that it should be a lower price. Apple is supposedly targeting about $200. So it might come in at $199. The plastic casing is one way of getting that price down. So you have Apple Watch options that will exist all the way through below $200 to the Apple Watch MS.
Yeah.
And each of these devices clearly people. For different groups of people. You've got the fashion Apple Watch. You've got the rugged Apple Watch. You've got the sort of polished, nice, dressy Apple Watch. You've got the normal, sporty Apple Watch. And then you've got the Apple Watch for kids and first-time customers. That makes sense. And it actually isn't too convoluted for people to understand either because these things look different. The price points are about right for each. I think long-term, that's where we need to try to move with the iPhone. I think that's why eventually things will start to make a bit more sense when we have like an iPhone 18 or 19 Ultra that's foldable at the top end that's quite expensive. Then we have some sort of mid-level premium devices that are getting very thin. And then at the low end, we have very compelling, very well-rounded, an iPhone SE type device. Maybe even that could get two size options eventually. There have been plenty of rumors about an iPhone SE Plus for years.
Please don't do that.
Not yet, but eventually.
We're trying to make things better and streamlined, and then we're just like, oh, we'll also add a couple more sizes in there. Why not? Let's get crazy.
I think that there would be a market for a larger Apple, for a larger sure. iPhone SE.
You but think
the lineup would have to change? So I'm talking in like 3 years time where we have by then iPhones will probably be pushing like $1,700 for the foldable model.
Yeah, 20 and, inches.
I mean, who knows where we're going with this thing?
Yeah.
I can see how the lineup can evolve in that way, but maybe I'm just trying to make these plastic casings that I want to see, even though I wouldn't buy them, just fit in my mind.
That's the hilarious part. I would probably never buy these for myself, but I'm like, yeah, I totally want to see a plastic iPhone. People are here like, stop saying
that. I'm just so nostalgic about the iPhone 5C.
It's just such a cool phone.
It was such a good design. And also, the hill I will die on with the iPhone 5C is that the shape of that phone was yes. the best shape yes. of any iPhone. It was the most comfortable. Mm-hmm. The way it was rounded on the back but flat on the front. And because of it, it was a small device and it was so lightweight because of that plastic casing, it was perfect.
One last thing.
I loved it.
One last thing before we end this. Whatever happened to the iPhone XR? Like, why did that get banned? Basically, it had 1 year, right? The XR, and that was it.
Yeah, it was the XR, and then it became the iPhone 11.
Sure.
But so like, it was basically the same device, but they just added an ultra-wide camera to it.
But why did we pay more for the XR, right? Wasn't the XR more money than the...
No, so the XR replaced the iPhone 8.
Okay,
it
was
the successor to the iPhone 8. So you were going from still LCD, like the bezels were still thinner, there was no home button. So for those customers, theoretically, it was still an upgrade, but it was a bit of a weird device.
Right? That's why I keep thinking about the XR, and I'm like, that phone was so strange. Why
That's what the iPhone SE probably like should have been over the past few years.
Yeah.
There were rumors actually about the iPhone SE 4 being a little bit like the iPhone XR, but it looks like Apple just wanted to skip that and go straight to the iPhone 14.
I guess that makes sense.
I don't really know what was better, but fine.
Yeah. All right, well, that's our episode. Keep it nice and short and sweet here. This will probably be one of the last times we talk about the iPhone SE 4 until it comes out, which, again, should be soon.
March to April.
That'll be here before you know it. And please, 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 if you haven't, I will start remembering to say this in the beginning of episodes. We need to remind me for next week. But if you made it, if you made it this far, I've already had a couple of questions being sent in. But please send us questions, as we will be in person very, very soon and would like to answer questions in a Q&A episode. So, yeah, let us know your thoughts. Let us know your questions in the comments. Send us an email, Twitter, whatever the case may be. And we will catch everybody in the next episode.